Amen. Another great hymn and wonderful words within it. And ladies and gentlemen, I trust that we're all looking forward to that great day. You know, it's good whenever we get home to heaven. Surely and truly, yes, our loved ones that have gone on, we will meet one day. But it'll be even greater to see the one who loved us and died for us on the cross of Calvary, our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible with you, would you please turn to Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I must also say that I must bring a greetings from my own church in Portadown. And that's where we are, and that's where we labor amongst the youth there, the youth fellowship in Portadown. And we do trust that you'll be praying for us, that the work will soon be getting back next weekend. We take our young people away to Scotland, and we do ask for prayer because it's like heaven. There's no night there. And especially when you lead a bunch of young people and take them away from their mothers and fathers, they place them into your trust, and they hope and trust and pray that they all come back the same way they went. So I ask you please to pray for us, also to pray that we'll be getting into the work in September again, and that work involves onto the streets again. And as I'm sure I've shared with you many times, the last time I was here in testimony, that we go out onto the streets along the River Ban and around the Bachelor's Walk. And we meet many young people today, and sadly are far away from God. And if you would only see their lives and the mess of their lives, it's only the Lord can help them. You know, many turn to psychiatrists, many turn to different things for help, but very few turn to the Lord, who's able to help. And if you're in that town, and I'm sure Coleraine's the same, broken lives, broken hearts, broken homes, far away from Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to pray for, that the Lord would break into our generation and save many of our young people. Let us turn in the Word of God, please, to Isaiah chapter 43, and I promise I'll not keep you long today. And we want to read the Word of God at verse 1 of Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Syria for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. You know, if you've got your Bible, underline that with a pen. Mark it. Since thou wast precious in my sight. You know, you're precious today. You're precious in the sight of the Lord. And it's the Lord who's speaking here, and he's speaking to his people, and he's saying to you today, listen, you're precious in my sight. Yes, you're precious to your elders and to your congregation and your session and to your family. But you're even greater precious today because you're precious in the sight of the Lord. What a word of encouragement there. Thou hast been honorable and I have loved thee. Wherefore I have given men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled who among them can declare this. And show us former things, let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen. Isn't that wonderful? To think today that you are the Lord's servant, you who once were held guilty, bound far away from the Lord, and today the Lord has saved you. And he has set you either in your home or your workplace. He has set you today there for a witness. For a witness for him. To declare the truth that Jesus Christ is the mighty to save. You haven't chosen him, but he has chosen you. And I often wonder at that. how the Lord could choose a wretch like me and take us up and to use us for his honor and for his glory. He goes on to say that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. Praise the Lord. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Amen. We know that God will bless his own precious word to all of our hearts. Can we, with our Bibles open, let us turn, please, to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again, as we come to thee this afternoon, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us already in this meeting. Lord, we thank thee for these wonderful hymns that we've been singing together. Lord, no doubt they have lifted our hearts heavenward. Lord, they have took our minds from those things that have been occupying us throughout this week. Lord, they have brought us into that heavenly realm today to think of all that Christ has done for us. And Father, we thank thee we're able to sing these old hymns to the glory and honor of our Savior Jesus Christ. But Lord, today we thank thee for thy word. We thank you, Lord, for thy word that is written in our own mother's tongue, and how thou hast preserved it from generation unto generation. And today, Lord, praise thy name. It's still opened. It's still preached for the glory of thy great name. And Father, we're coming now to look at a promise that thou givest in thy word. And Father, may we all with our hearts lay hold upon this promise. That Lord, we'll leave this place saying, truly, it was good for us to be here. For here we met afresh with the Lord. Lord, this preacher needs help. Lord, what am I? I'm only the clay, Lord. But Lord, thou art the potter. And I pray, O God, that thou wilt fill this vessel with thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt help us to preach, Lord, not in any will or any might of my own, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. For I ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen. October 1991, there was a little ship. It was 70 foot long. It had a diesel engine horsepower of 362. It was called the Abergele. And the Abergele, with its crew of 70 people, that little fishing vessel, it boarded in New England to go out into the Atlantic. That was just known as an ordinary shipping journey for that little ship. Time after time, the same men, the same little boat, had took the same voyage time after time out into the Atlantic to fish. Little did they know that morning in October 1991 that it would be their last voyage out onto the Atlantic. Because there in the midst of that Atlantic, the Abergele came face to face with one of the greatest hurricane graces that was ever recorded up until 1991. It came with winds of gusts of up to 120 miles an hour. It scooped up a wave in the middle of the ocean that rose above 10 stories high. And that little ship, with all of its horsepower and all of the crew, could not embrace the force that was to come upon it. Sadly, everyone on that ship was lost at sea. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon I'd like to speak to you upon a promise in the storms. Because no doubt, and I believe with all of my heart, each and every one of us here today, whether young or old, will always and will go through storms. It is part of our Christian life. It is part of our Christian walk with God. The Bible doesn't promise us that the road to heaven is an easy road. But thank God it is a glorious road. Because when we walk that road to heaven, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ walks with us. But there does come trials, tribulations, and storms. If you're here today and maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, life at the moment is very rosy for me. It's comfortable. It's going well. My dear child of God, be warned. Because there's those in the meeting here with us also who are either entering into a storm or they've just come through a storm. And you, my friend, also somewhere along your life will meet face to face with a storm. But it's good when the storms, and it's good when the trials come, that we have a promise to lay hold upon. The Word of God is a sure foundation. Some today they build big houses and lands. They build up their strength and their wealth and all that they achieve. But praise God for the child of God. Our confidence today does not lie in man, nor does our hope lie in man. But today our confidence and hope, it lies upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon His Word. If I was to come this afternoon and to say to you, I want to give you a promise from myself to you, I would have to say today that my promise would not take you out that door. It wouldn't take you out. Nor would it take you home. And when the storms come, the promise that I would give you, it would not last. It would fail. But I'm glad today that as I come today as God's servant, as God's messenger, with God's word, I don't come with a promise with this preacher, but I come with a promise that comes from God. And it's the Lord who's speaking in His Word. And it's the Lord that gives this promise. And the Lord says to His people, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That's God's promise. That's God's Word. You see how I know this is God's Word and how I know it's God's promise? Well, when we read Isaiah chapter 1 and we look at the first verse, it says, but now thus saith the Lord. It's the Lord that's speaking. And I'm sure your minister, and I believe with all of my heart, he's a man who will get into his study, he will get into his sanctuary, and he will seek the word from the Lord. He'll not seek it from man or his own ambition, but he'll open up the Bible and he'll seek the word of God from the mouth of the Lord. And so that ought to be with all who will stand behind the sacred desk. Ought to seek first of all the message that God would have us proclaim, because it's His Word. And my dear friend, can you see this afternoon, it is God that's speaking. And I want you today to look beyond this preacher, beyond this mortal clay, and look to Christ, and listen to what the Lord is saying to you today as you come into the house of the Lord. But thus saith the Lord that created thee. You see, God created thee. Young people, and we teach it to our young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And young people, it is so important in the days of your youth that you learn so much of the Word of God, that you get into this book, that you begin to read the Word of God, and that you study it, and that you cherish it, and that you hide it deep within your heart. Not only to read and to know and understand the Word of God, but oh, that you would come to trust Christ as your Savior early in life. Because what a great privilege it is to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in the prime of your youth. When you've got health and strength on your side. And young person, there's no better time to close in with God's offer of salvation than it is today in the prime of your youth. I was saved at the age of 18 years of age. I lived a life of sin, and there are many scars there to this day. But praise God, they're covered by the blood. I look over 16 years of God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy. And not one day ever goes by do I ever regret the day that the Lord saved my ever dying soul. And I'm glad today when I read this promise here in the Word of God, that I'm glad today that I'm created by God. That is God that made me. That I did not come from a monkey or from any other form of design. But praise God that God is my creator. God is my creator. And if God is my creator, ladies and gentlemen and young people, one day I will have to stand before my creator, my judge, and give an account for the life and the way that I live my life here on earth. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, and young people, the Lord never forsakes His people. He never does it, and He never will. And I wonder today, are you in this meeting today, And you know, we all have fears. We all have problems. We all have worries. Whether those fears be financial fears, or whether it be coming to an year of retirement or old age, or rather it's going into university or going to take on a new job, whatever that fear is, it's lingering in your heart today. It's in your heart today. Maybe you're a mother and a father here, and your fear for your children. It's hard to get them to the services. It's hard to get them to the meetings. There's fear there. There's worry, and rightly so. But ladies and gentlemen, as we look at this wonderful promise that God gives to his people, the Lord draws and he says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." You see, God's speaking to his people. He's coming close and he's drawing near to his beloved people, those who he has redeemed. And he says, "O Israel, fear not. Fear not." That's why he says, is there fear in your heart today? Is there some matter that's there and it's prompting in your heart today? Maybe you have to go to the doctor and that's a worry. And rightly so today. You don't know what that outcome's going to be and you don't want to go and face the doctor. Maybe you have to go for surgery and it's going to be big surgery. And there's that worry and fear beginning to press in upon your soul. Well, my dear beloved friend in the Lord is drawing near to your soul today. And the Lord is saying, "Listen, O Israel, fear not. Fear not." The scholars would tell us that there are 366 fear nots in the Bible. Now, I haven't sat down and counted them all out and marked them all out, and I take their word to be good. But ladies and gentlemen, there's 365 days in the year. And you see, the Lord knew there was a leap year, so he threw another one in. And that's 366 fear nots, one for every day of the year. And every morning that you get up, my dear child of God, let this little word ring in your ears, fear not. As you go out into the world today, as you face the world with his sin, with his trials and difficulties, listen, fear not. Fear not. Why? Look at it. For I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that has redeemed thee. And my dear friend, what a privilege it is today to be in the house of God and to lift our heart up and sing and say, "I am redeemed, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am." He paid the price. The price that I could not pay. That debt which was huge and large. I could never have paid it. But praise God, Christ Jesus the Lord took it and nailed it to the cross, and I bear it no more. Oh, redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And my friend, can you hear that today? Can you hear it through all of your worry, through all of your circumstances, through all of the troubles and trials in your life? The Lord draws near to your soul today, and he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." You know, he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, "I have called thee by name." Look for the eyes. Look for the eyes in this promise. They're personal, they're singular, they're to you, my friend. In this massive crowd, the Lord is singling you out, and he's saying, "Listen, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." Isn't that wonderful? Just to think upon that a moment, in a gathering such as large as this, that the Lord knows each and every one of us by our names. By our names. Others may call us other things, and I can tell you, in my Christian life, I've got called many a thing. But I thank God today that my Heavenly Father knows me by my name. By my name. And he knows you by your name. And whatever your color or whatever your creed, whatever your background, whatever your nationality is, whatever country you're from, wherever you are in this world, wherever you go in this world, thank God the Lord knows all about you. He knows all about you. Consider the lilies, how they tell you. My friend, if a sparrow falls to the ground, Are you not, and your heavenly Father knoweth that it falleth to the ground. Are you not worth more than a sparrow? Of course you are. He said you're precious. The Lord says you're precious. You're precious in my sight. And it doesn't matter what other people think about you today. Others may look and say, look at that Bible thumper. He's not but a holy Joe. He's not but somebody who stands and preaches the word of God. And you become a laughing stock in the eyes of the Lord and the world. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord knows all about us. He knows all about us. And you're precious. You're precious. My friend, not only does he say, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Look at the last, look at that last bit. Does that not near make your eyes swell with tears? Not only to think it a privilege to be redeemed, to be counted into the family of God, to be adopted into his family. Not only to know that God knows you by name, he knows your very creed, your nationality, he knows your size, your shape, he knows all about you, but he goes on to say, thou art mine. Thou art mine. Isn't that wonderful? In this world that is so corrupt with sin, that yet God has a people for himself, and he puts a stamp upon them, and he says, they are mine. They're mine. The Lord says, touch not my anointed. And there's maybe one in this meeting today, and you might think little of the Lord's people. You mightn't think much of them. But I want to assure you that they think a lot of you. They think a lot of you. You might be here a son, and you're only here because you're here to please your mother and father. But I want to tell you, they think a lot of you. They think a lot of you. Because you know how I know? If I'm going to bring you into a prayer meeting, and I can set you down before your mother and father and watch them break their heart over your sinful soul, and as the tears drip down their very face and they cry for your soul, my friend, they care for you. They care for you. And they come to one who cares for them. They come to one who hears and answers prayer. And when they come that blood-sprinkled pathway, when they come that only way to the throne of grace, they have a great entrance into the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the moment that they step into that place, God says, they're mine. They're mine. They're mine. Oh, my dear friend, today, can you see that today? In all of your troubles, in all of your anxieties, in all of your worries, and all of your fears, the Lord draws near to your soul today, and he says, listen, fear not. Fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. What is it that's troubling you today? What is it that's worrying you today? I was looking through the notes the other day, night, and I come upon a gardener's piece that the commenter brought out a little bit about a gardener. And it says that when storms come, it's good for the trees and shrubs. Well, I have a garden at home, and I don't like seeing the wind and the storms when they come, because you plant in a new tree, and if you don't stake it in right, and the wind comes, it just coops the tree over, and you've got to go back and redo the whole work all over again. But yet in that commentary, he brings out about the storms in life. How the storms are good for trees and for shrubs, because the more the storms blow, their roots begin to go deeper and deeper into the soil. And they begin to strengthen themselves underneath the earth. And what he says is the more storms that comes into our Christian life, it helps us to deepen and deeper our great love in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, my friend, the storm that you're going through now, you might say to yourself, where's the Lord in all of this storm? My friend, the footprints that you see are not yours, but the footprints that you see are the Lord's. Because underneath, around about you, are the everlasting arms of the Savior. My friend, I can stand here tonight and I know what it's like to go through storms. I know what it's like to lay a little child even into the grave. My little brother-in-law and his wife, they led our little niece, 6 years of age, into the grave. And I can stand tonight when storms come like that. Where else can you go? All words of man will fail. But praise God, the child of God today has an anchor that is steadfast and sure, that when the storms of life and the billows roll, it's fastened. It's fastened to the rock. And the rock is Christ Jesus. Look at the Lord says in that verse 2, when thou passest through the waters. It doesn't say might, maybe. There's a word when there. The moment that you begin to pass through the waters. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And my friend, today are you going through the waters? Is the waters coming over your head? Are the billows of the waves beginning to fill your vessel? Well, then, my friend, lay hold upon this promise today. The Lord says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. He says in Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can read it, I will never, never leave thee, nor will I ever, ever, ever forsake thee. My friend, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of all of your fears and anxieties and woes, Christ has promised, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see, I read in that chapter of Matthew, and some people think today that because storms come in my life, does that mean that I'm out of the will of God? Does that mean that I'm losing out in touch with God? Is there something wrong in my life that all these storms are coming? My friend, that's not so. It's not so. You see, there's two types of storms. And one of those storms can be the storm of correction. And if you want to read about the storm of correction, you can see it in Jonah's life. Jonah was told of the Lord to go to Nineveh and preach against the city of Nineveh. But Jonah, rather than obeying the Lord, he disobeyed the Lord and he fled. And he got into a ship in Joppa, and it tells us that the Lord whipped up a great storm. And in that great storm and in that ship, Jonah was thrown overboard and he ended in the belly of a whale, in the belly of a fish. And it was in that belly of the fish that Jonah sought the Lord and Jonah repented. And the whale spit him out. God corrected his path and he went back. He went back. But this promise, this circumstance that the disciples find, the disciples are in the will of God. They're doing the will of the Lord. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 14 and verse 23, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. It was the Lord who told them, get into the ship and go before him onto the other side. You see, they were doing the will of the Lord. And my dear friend, maybe it is today that you've been toiling in the work of God and you haven't seen much fruit for your labor. And all of a sudden you're beginning to feel discouraged and you're beginning to feel downcast in your heart. And there's storms seem to be coming in this road and out that road and you're being bombarded with all of attack. My friend, if God has told you to go in and do it, then my friend, you know you're in the will of God. You're in the will of God. And in that storm and in that will of God, there you will find perfect peace. Perfect peace. Is that the situation you find yourself today? What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone. Along my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. If I have Jesus, Jesus only, then my sky will have a gem. He's the sun of brightest splendor, the star of Bethlehem. My friend, I'm glad today that even though the world may hurl all its darts, to be standing in the center of God's will. And no matter what comes against us, that the Lord has promised, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters and through the rivers, I will be with thee. I come to close with the last little part of that promise. It's not only the rivers, it's not only the waters. But praise God, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, it's not only rivers, it's not only waters, there's fires. Not right, Jeffrey? There's fires. And men who stand in the front line of battle for the Lord, and women also in the mission field, know what it's like to be under the fires and attacks of the devil. Sometimes you can be misinterpreted. Sometimes you can be misunderstood. Sometimes you can be hated for taking a stand that's separated from sin and holiness. You know, it's a word that's very little made of today. It's the word holiness. And I think that word holiness ought to come out more to God's people in this day and age in which we live. Are we letting the standard drop because of the pressures of the world? Because of the attacks that the church continually be busy and bombarded? Well, if you were to turn to Daniel, and you see in Daniel chapter 6, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into that furnace fire. These men were threw in there because they would not bow the knee to the mud stick and the flute and the music. And it's sad today that so many are bowing the knee to all of the pressures that the world is applying upon them. And my dear friend, when they were taken and they were set inside that furnace and it was turned up with this heat, the king came forward and he said, listen, did we not put three in that furnace? Did we not put three into the fire? He said, true, O king. He says, I see four. The fourth, the one who is the image of the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? My friend, not only in the midst of the rivers, not only in the rivers and the waters, but praise God, he's with us, even in the fires. Even in the fires. I want to close today with singing a hymn, a little moment or two. It's in our hymn book 426. Can I say this, my dear Christian brother and sister in the Lord? Will you today lay hold upon this promise? Young person going over to university, going into a new school, starting a new career, a new job, not knowing what the future and the outlook of that will be. My dear friend, take this word from the Lord and apply it to your heart today. Sunday school worker about to get into the work, getting involved in the gospel mission, about to undergo its campaign. All the work's beginning to go back. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever comes the year 2010 into 2011 in the will of the Lord, whatever trials and attacks and storms come, let us lay hold of this today, that when we walk through the waters and through the fires and through the rivers, the Lord has promised, I will be with thee. Have you to go to the doctor? Have you to go to hospital? My friend, listen. Fear not. Fear not. The Lord knows all about it. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will see you through. The Lord will guide you. Is there one here today and your dreams are all shattered? Shattered. The loved one who you've spent such a long life has now gone home to be with to glory with the Lord. And you're in that home of loneliness. Listen to what the Lord says. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. Fear not. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. My friend, the hymn we're going to sing, it says, does Jesus care when my heart is pain? Too deep for merit or song. As the burdens presses and the cares distresses. As the days grow weary and long. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When my days are weary and the long nights are dreary, I know, my Jesus cares. May this promise come to you today as a great fresh anchor for you to hold on in the days that lie ahead. We're going to stand and sing that wonderful hymn, 426. 426, sing it all to the glory of the Lord.